These are the times. A tall man with head bowed stands beside a desk, his trembling fingers resting upon a newspaper headline. Eyes search the sky, dark eyes lift from heat-burdened hills to seek a blinding sight. A wagon wheel groans, wrapped in a scent of sweating horses. Scarred backs glisten in the sun. In the heart of the world, the nation cracks like an egg. These are the times. Prologue. The dark river murmured as the boy crossed the yard and the silver sky turned black. At the barn door, he stopped to watch the lamplight coming warmly through the cabin window, to watch a shadow move over the pane. He opened the door, quietly stepped in and pulled it shut behind him. The warm smells of the animals surrounded him, their sweat, the sound of their breath. She was waiting in the straw behind the stalls. Her skin was the sky, and her eyes were shining. "Where is he?" the boy asked. "The outhouse. Then he'll be back. He'll go to the cabin to read." He lay beside her and ran his hand down her arm. He studied her face, her eyes, then unbuttoned her dress and reverently touched her breast. She was as dark and warm and soft as a spring night. This was a holy thing. "Jacob," she said. "Yes?" "Jacob." He kissed her. Her lips trembled. He could hear the river murmuring. Chapter 1. A man followed an eagle into the forest because he believed in omens. He believed that the earth contained an eternal heart that beat in all of its children. He followed the eagle day after day as it flew westward along a river. Every morning when he awoke, the eagle would be perched in a tree on the riverbank, watching him silently with silver eyes, and it would lift from the branch in a flash of silver as its wings caught the morning light. One morning when the man awoke, the eagle was gone, and the man knew he'd come to where he was meant to be. He looked at the sky and the river, and the trees gathered thickly around him. He inhaled deeply the smell of the life all around him. He thanked the earth. With the pain in his hands and the pain in his back, he cleared a field on the north bank of the Ohio River in what was to become Brown County, Ohio. He spent the first winter camped in the hollow of a fallen cottonwood. He listened for wolves and ate the remains of their kills and lost one of his fingers and two of his toes to frostbite. He prayed to God and to the earth, and, with his teeth chattering, pondered the cold lying deep within him. In the spring he jointed the first logs of his cabin, and in the summer when he finished it and lay on the river bank with the heat of the day passing, with the pain in his body flowing back into the earth, he looked across the murmuring water to the other side and wondered if he should have cleared his field and built his cabin there. But in the eagle's actions God and the earth had spoken. The man believed in omens. The man followed the river east before winter and returned to his farm with a 17-year-old bride just as the snow was beginning to fall. Through the years they raised crops and children, strong sons, strong and beautiful daughters. The man's hair had thinned and the joints in his hands had knotted by the time he buried his wife in the back corner of the pasture. He spent more and more time staring across the water or searching the western horizon. He would wonder at the beat of his heart within him. He had never forgotten the eagle, the flash of its wings in the morning light. The sons and daughters drifted away, some east, one west, until only one son remained. As the man lay on his deathbed, he gripped his son's hand and transferred through their clasp the knowledge that had always driven him. The son felt it as a heat and a trembling, as brittle old bones, hot with the last of the old man's life. But after he buried his father, he lifted his eyes to the river and the horizon. The son buried his father's knowledge beneath the farm and its responsibilities, beneath its taming, beneath his own fear. He felt it only in an occasional glance at the river, at the sun at the end of the day. In time he took a wife who had come across the river, and they had a son of their own. The birth was difficult, tearing from her the seed for other children. The boy was like any other, but he carried within him the knowledge of his grandfather, the hidden knowledge of the father whose mule and plow he now plodded behind. His name was Jacob, and as his grandfather had done, he would lie on the river bank in the weathered hollow of the long-ago cottonwood and stare across the water or to the sun. He would wonder at as his grandfather had done, though he did not understand the wondering. He had never heard of the earth's heart.